Welcome back to The Green. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. In the first half of the show, we heard excerpts from Governor John Carney's address Thursday to a joint session of the General Assembly and legislative reaction to it. The speech covered a fair amount of familiar ground, laying out some of Carney's priorities in a year when new initiatives will be limited by the state's projected $386 million budget hole. Political reporter James Dawson covered the speech and this week's other action at Legislative Hall. He returns to the room this week to help us put it all in perspective. James, thanks for being here again.
Hey, good to be here, Tom.
Well, before we dig into the details of Governor Carney's speech, let's start with, well, the start of yesterday's event.
David McBride, it is my honor and privilege on behalf of the Escort Committee to present to you our Honorable Governor John C. Markell for his special address. Oh my goodness.
Well, you don't see that every day, do you?
No, you definitely don't. Governor John Carney was a good sport about it, though. He laughed it off and quickly recovered by calling Lieutenant Governor Bethany Hall Long Lieutenant Governor Den, who was the one who served with Markell. Lake Hall was buzzing, though. You can see a picture that I took online that shows the exact moment when Senator Hansen realized what she had said.
It's a classic. Yeah, definitely should go to DelawarePublic.org and check that out. But let's get to the speech. Now, that's the most important part. And as I mentioned, a lot of this was familiar terrain. Was there anything new here that we hadn't heard before from Governor Carney?
I don't think too much of it was really new. It just solidified what Carney had been suggesting for a while, and that includes saying that the Delaware Economic Development Office will be a public-private partnership in some form. He also committed to trying to retool the Coastal Zone Act, which sets a high bar for any heavy industry that wants to locate next to the Delaware River or Delaware Bay. And then he doubled down on his calls to revamp the Department of Education. He says the work is mostly happening internally, but the biggest clue that we've got is that Carney is trying to move away from dedicated funding sources that could cripple future budgets, and instead he wants to use grants that schools and districts can compete for and use however they want. It's a big step away from what Wilmington and rural lawmakers have been wanting, which is a predictable flow of cash to schools serving low-income students or those English language learners.
Though those things are likely a fight for another day. You mentioned DDO and Carney teeing up his plans to reshape that entity. The task force looking at that is expected to offer its recommendations next week. Do we have any sense of what this is going to look like?
Not specifically. The task force has had three meetings with another one set for Tuesday. And all that we know is it's going to be some sort of public-private partnership. In the past, Carney has told me that he envisions private businesses kicking in money to lure businesses here, but that's all up in the air. All I can say is that he wanted something different from the current model. The past few years, the state has kicked in between 10, 20-ish million dollars a year to either give out grants, tax breaks, or other sort of incentives to these companies. And Carney says it hasn't gotten us as much as it maybe could have.
And I thought it was interesting, Danny Short, we heard in the previous segment in his reaction, mentioned the fact that maybe the big struggle here will be getting that private money. That's where is it going to come from? Are they all going to buy in? And then that may be the bigger hurdle to get over than, in fact, just putting this thing together as a public-private partnership.
Well, they're going to have to make it worth it for those private businesses, right? You know, they're not going to just invest a few million dollars here and there if they're not seeing much in return. And that's why this is such a, I don't know, interesting thing to follow. Like I said, this meeting to finalize the recommendations is happening Tuesday with the final report due to Carney on Friday.
So something we'll be keeping an eye on in the next couple of weeks. We also talked about the Coastal Zone Act and Carney trying to reexamine it to allow for more economic development opportunities along the coast of Delaware. He admitted in the speech it's going to be a lift. How heavy a lift will it be? We heard from House Minority Leader Danny Short earlier. This is kind of a tightrope for Carney to walk.
Yeah, this is probably going to be the biggest lift of his tenure so far. And the reason why is because this is where he's going to get a lot of pushback from his own party. Democrats have long been proud of the Coastal Zone Act, environmentalists too, even though it was signed into law by a Republican governor, Russ Peterson, in the 1970s. So we're talking about extremely strict regulations that outright ban new heavy industry anywhere along the Delaware Bay or Delaware River. And any other industry has to go through a permitting process with the state to get approved, and they have to show that they won't negatively affect the environment. But part of the problem it's created is that these sites were already polluted and the companies didn't clean it up before they left town or went bankrupt. And sea level rise could leach those toxic piles into the water source. And Carney really wants to incentivize other businesses to go in, take care of the pollution, and set up shop, create new jobs.
But there does seem to be some, perhaps, support on the Democratic side talking to Pete Schwarzkopf. We heard him earlier say
the House has been working, at least House Democrats have been working on some kind of version of this type of action that would limit it to brownfields that were already previously industrial ones, but not touch any new land. That may be perhaps the path, the narrow path that Carney has.
Well, and that's what I've been hearing, too, especially from new Senator Stephanie Hansen. She's an environmental real estate lawyer by trade, and, mm-hmm. and brownfields is really her bread and butter.
Right.
And that's exactly what she wants to target, too, is cleaning up these polluted sites and, you know, just really negating the potential impact that they might have in the future.
They sell it as a win-win, which is like these places are already polluted. The businesses are going to come in and clean them up for us. That's a win. And then the businesses will put something there that will create jobs. Another win. Question is, will the environmental groups and others see it the same way? We'll keep an eye on that one as well. One area that everyone seems to be on board with following this speech was Carney's call to address the opiate crisis here in the first state. But how much, again, there can get done considering the budget limitations this year?
Well, lawmakers are really trying to take a more regulatory approach, so there is some wiggle room. One bill would bar insurance companies from requiring that addicts have a prior referral or be in a crisis to get checked into these live-in treatment centers. And I've heard from several people who said that they were denied when they tried to get help because they weren't, quote, sick enough to get a bed there. Companies could also require checkups in the early stages of treatment. And we're talking a couple days in here. And if they thought you were doing well enough, they'd kick you out. And an addiction treatment can take a long time to mm-hmm. break those habits or even get someone completely through withdrawal. So advocates are saying that would be a big help there. Another bill would give addicts and their families access to state lawyers who can help them if an insurance company denies their claim. And that money would come from the Consumer Protection Fund within the Department of Justice. And that's paid for when states win lawsuits, usually from companies that commit fraud. And Attorney General Matt Dehn, who's backing these bills, says the fund typically has a big surplus year after year, and it should be more than enough to pay for itself. And then the last piece are these new opioid prescription regulations mm-hmm. That were finalized a while ago. They're kicking in April, and they basically limit how many pills doctors can prescribe for short-term patients and then really crack down on long-term treatment if the patient no longer needs these drugs.
Anything else stand out in the speech or the reaction to it?
Not so much. I thought the speech was, it was much shorter than we're used to, about 25 minutes in length. I think Carney's just reinforcing his priorities. Some lawmakers I've spoken to have been disappointed that there haven't been many grand ideas that he's thrown out so far, but he might be handcuffed due to the budget.
The other big news in Dover this week, and you broke this story, a bill legalizing recreational marijuana is here. Tell us the key features of this bill.
That's right. So it would be legal for anyone 21 years or older to buy marijuana. And in all, 40 retail stores would be allowed to open, with current medical marijuana dispensaries getting a head start. If it does pass, smoking in public would still be banned. You wouldn't be able to grow any of your own plants at home. Other than that, it's really regulated mostly like alcohol. These stores would have the same hours, things like that. The money, though, would get split between the Department of Education and the Health Department, with the rest going to the general fund. And when it's fully implemented, the Marijuana Policy Project projects $22 million coming in for the first year. But past estimations for states that have legalized pot have been vastly underestimated in the past.
So it'll be very interesting to watch. The obvious question, of course, is how much of a shot does this bill have, especially since Governor Carney has signaled he's more or less against it, at least at this particular juncture?
Right. The odds at face value aren't great. So you're going to need a 2/3 majority to pass this bill because it creates new criminal penalties for stores that sell pot to underage people. And that's going to be pretty hard right now. Even though 61% of Delawareans support full legalization, you have a lot of former cops as state legislators and others who are close to law enforcement that aren't necessarily friendly to these types of laws. So right now, the bill has 14 co-sponsors, one Republican. You're going to need plenty more to pass this, but Democrats might be able to get the GOP on board with some creative horse trading. There's still 50% of that cash flow that's not earmarked that could fund programs like farmland preservation, open space, that have continually been stripped by the Markell administration and the Carney administration, too, at least in his proposal. Medical marijuana passed in 2011 with only two Republican sponsors, so maybe it can get done again.
Be interesting to watch. James Dawson, thanks for dropping by.
Thank you.
And remember, you can keep up with all of James Dawson's coverage of politics here in the First State online anytime at DelawarePublic.org. And stay with us. The Green continues in a moment with a look at the future of a pair of Delaware shopping malls, Concord Mall and Dover Mall. You're listening to Delaware Public Media.